From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of February, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, and Drew Lerner at World Weather in Kansas City will join us to discuss the weather forecast. Along the way, I'll tell you how to sign up for the webinar that USDA is hosting Thursday and Friday. The Agricultural Outlook Forum is virtual and online. It's also free if you've not registered before. This event usually costs quite a bit of money to attend, and you can do it this year for free, so visit willag.org and find a link. You'll also, while you're there at willag.org, find a link to tomorrow's winter webinar series from the FarmDoc folks. Gary Schnitke and Scott Irwin will be discussing acreage decisions in the state of Illinois, across the Midwest as well. You'll want to see that one. That one starts at 11 o'clock Central Time. You do need to definitely get yourself registered for it. And you can find all that registration information at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, March corn today at 5.53, 3/4 of a cent a bushel higher. The May contract at 5.50 and 3/4 up a penny. In December, 4.60 up 2 1/4. March soybeans at 13.83 and 3/4 down a penny. The May down 1 at 13.84 and 3/4. In November, new crop at $11.89 up 3 1/4 of a cent. The bean meal at 4.31.70 up 3.30. The bean oil at 46.77, 50 cents lower on the day. Wheat futures soft red at 644, down 13.5, and the hard red at 624.5, that down 13 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago for 100 pounds at $124.15, down $1.65 in the April. Feeders at 235 lower, finished at $138.42.5, and lean hogs at $84.90 were down $1.27.5 for 100 pounds. A quick look at some of the outside markets. The energy show, the crude oil now trading at $1.05 higher at $61.10, and the RBOB price of gasoline is $1.81 for the day. Natural gas at $3.24. Jackie Vakes at Total Farm Marketing in Hollister, Missouri, now joins us to discuss what's been happening in the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start with the normals. What are the support and resistance levels for the week?
Well, we really haven't seen any changes there. March has support at 507, resistance at 571, and the crossover is 559 and 427. And we do have March options expiring basically on Friday. So first notice day will come the week after, and then we'll start to actually, I'll bring in the July corn after that. May, support 529, 581 resistance, crossover 561, 455. Deese 21 weekly corn chart, 440 support, 465 resistance. The up channels still low, 427, high of 473. Beans, March 1262 support, 1466 resistance, crossovers at 1023. May, 1290 support, 1407 resistance, crossover 1286 and 1080. And on a November weekly chart, we've got support at 1132, resistance at 1203, and that uptrend range is still there between 1117 and 1245. Dow Jones changed a little bit. We've got the support at 29301, a little bit lower, resistance at 31608, a little bit higher. U.S. dollar, No change there. 87.81 is support. 92.07 is resistance, although we have seen a move higher in the U.S. dollar. We haven't seen that for a while. And I'll just go right on into managed money, Todd, if that's all right.
Sure.
This is kind of interesting. Managed money on the soft red wheat went from 21,000 long to 19,000. On corn, from 372,000 long to 340. Beans, 196,000 long, down to 167. Soy meal, 77,000 long, down to 63. And soy oil, 126,000 long, down to 114,000 long. So you can see that, you know, there's an awful lot of movement going on. Managed money is still, you know, one of the big drivers in the marketplace. And so export inspections, Wheat exports are running 2% behind compared to a year ago. Last week, they were 1% behind. Corn, 84% ahead of a year ago. Last week, was up 85%. Soybeans, up 77% versus a year ago, compared to 80 last week. And when we look into the markets, Todd, that's where some of the uncertainty is coming from.
So what are you thinking about the markets this week? What are the big things that have happened of interest so far?
Well, you know, we continue to have China. They're in the golden week, which lasts from the 13th to the 19th. So far, you know, we really haven't seen any major export sales, and that's another reason that we've got the forum on the 18th and the 19th. And a little further down, I'll hit on what the acreage numbers might be. The carry-in March corn from March to December is running about 95 cents, and March beans to November beans at about $1.95. So very little change from last week at all. But, you know, when we looked at open interest dropped yesterday. So, you know, this is we're at a really important point here in the corn and bean market. We have March options expiring on Friday. You know, the ag form is likely to show higher acres for corn and beans. We've got lots of rumors, though, that are swirling out there that managed money might add to their long positions on Monday if Argentina and southern Brazil are dry, because that would mean crop stress, and northern Brazil is wet, which would mean a slower harvest. And so there's an awful lot of craziness going on here, and that's why right now you got to have a pretty much of an iron stomach to ride this market because of its ups and its downs. But that's not going to change. I mean, until we get more good, solid direction as to where we have to go, you'll see this back and forth. I don't think the uptrend is necessarily in grave danger, but I do think, you know, that we will see setbacks like we have. And another thing that with the Illinois River being frozen, that's another thing that's thrown a clinker in there, because we may not see the bean deliveries that they were expecting, you know, just because the river's frozen. So that changes so much. I'm always looking for little facts, Todd, you know. So I was looking at, I always follow Lake Michigan, okay, and see how much Lake Michigan freezes, because I was from Wisconsin, right? And so they think Lake Michigan is going to hit about 40% frozen. Lake Erie is already 80% frozen. Now, the long-term annual ice coverage for the Great Lakes is Erie 68%, Huron 50, Superior 49, Michigan 28, and Ontario 20. And last year, if you remember, we saw Lake Michigan freeze over in some places. So just to give you an idea how crazy people are in Wisconsin, people were ice fishing on Lake Michigan this last weekend up in the area where I come from. A crack opened up and they had to go out and rescue them.
Wow.
How crazy are you to be out there on that wild lake, you know, ice fishing, you know? So some people just, you know, they must enjoy taking big risks. That's all I can say.
Hey, you mentioned the ag form. Acreage probably will come out tomorrow. Yields on Friday. We have any indication of surveys or something ahead of that,
yep,
which might give us a direction?
Well, Bloomberg came out with one. They surveyed the analysts on corn, soybeans, wheat, and cotton, because those are the primaries. And, you know, if we're going to pick up more corn acres, we got to figure out, where they're coming from, basically. On corn, they came in at 92.9, which I thought was actually pretty conservative. The high-end guess was 96. And the USDA for 2021 had 90.8. So that would be just 2 million acres more than what we had this last year. And beans, they came in at 89.8. And the high guess there was 92. That is actually 6.7 million acres more than what we had this past season. On wheat, 45.3. High guess is 47. And that's a million acres more than what we had this past year. You know, so where's it coming from? Well, cotton, the guesses are anywhere from 11.7 to 11 million acres, and that would be just down 320,000 acres. So I'm guessing if we get all of these extra acres they're talking about, they're going to come out of ditches that are going to disappear, lawns that will partially disappear. I remember seeing that in Illinois the last time that we had really high prices. And so this is going to be going to be wild and crazy because, you know, like we talked on Commodity Week, I think it was Elaine Cubb that said, made the remark, you know, well, where are these acres going to come from? Because all of these prices are pretty profitable. And it's really the truth, you know. So it's going to come down to where do we end up with an insurance price now in February and basically spring weather, you know. And that's why I'm watching Lake Michigan, because every year when Lake Michigan has froze more than normal, basically we always get a delayed spring.
Anything from China? I know it's their Lunar New Year. And if not from there, do you know how far along harvest is in Brazil?
Yeah, I don't have anything really on China because of Lunar New Year. They, you know, haven't been seeing anything going on there at all. In Brazil, farmers in Mato Grosso are harvested 22.2%. That was by the end of last week. Now, that's compared to 58.2 last year and 45.4 on average. So you can definitely see that they're behind. This story I thought was just so interesting. You know, for years now, you and I talked about them paving BR-163, and they finally completed it, right?
You bet.
So, you know, you think, okay, this means everything is going to be good. The traffic jams of all these grain trucks heading north out of Mato Grosso is going to disappear, and nothing's going to happen beyond that. Well, that isn't exactly true. At one point last week, there were over 10,000 grain trucks in a line on BR-230, which is a federal highway, waiting to get into the port of Miritiba. And those trucks all came from BR-163. So BR-163 now can handle a whole lot more trucks than what they did before. But the side roads, like 230, basically are unpaved. And so this is not a good situation. You know, now the port can only unload an average of 500 trucks a day. So that tells me there's 20 days worth of trucks sitting there. But, you know, the number of trucks arriving is far over what they have even room for in their staging area. So, they anticipated this type of problem once the soybean planting was late, you know, and so from that standpoint, the problem's the truckers, not the port of Miritiba. It's, you know, it's inconvenience for thousands of truckers, but Miritiba is just pounding along, and they're getting their barges loaded and they're getting them out of there. But those truck drivers, can you imagine sitting someplace for 20 days? I mean, waiting?
Well, that sounds like expensive storage.
Oh,
to me.
It is. It's very expensive storage. There's no question about that. You know, so it's just, I think it's just ironic. You know, it's like us so many times. We hope for one thing, and then when we get it, we find out that it has a bigger impact on something we hadn't anticipated. And so Argentina, their early planted soybeans are about 50% setting pods, 6% filling pods, and that filling pod number is about 20%. Slower than what the average is. The later beans are now 40% flowering. That's about 10% slower than average. Their early corn is 52% filling and 16% mature. You know, and in the core production areas, the early planted corn is about 35% mature. And so they might start harvesting a few fields this week. Later planted corn is approximately 50% pollinated. So, you know, you can see why there's rumors floating around that if the weather comes out on Sunday and they're saying that there's going to be drier than normal in southern Brazil and Argentina, which puts stress on the crop that's filling and potting right now, and wetter than normal in northern Brazil, which would be Mato Grosso, basically slowing down the harvest a great deal. It could be a really interesting week based on weather again.
Hey, indeed it could. Hey, thank you. And I appreciate you taking so much time with me today.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Jackie Vakes. She is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. A couple of notes here. If you've not ever attended the United States Department of Agriculture's annual Agricultural Outlook Forum, it's free this year and online. You should register. You can do that at willag.org, or at least find a link to register. The forum is tomorrow and Friday, and you can drop in and out of it, but you do need to get yourself registered. Again, this normally costs a lot of money and a trip to Washington, D.C., so register today and get yourself online for the Agricultural Forum. You can check out what USDA has happening. You can also, at willag.org, register if you've not already done this for tomorrow's winter webinar series from the Farm Doc folks. That's the agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Gary Schnitke, along with Scott Irwin, will join me, and the two of them will discuss the acreage decisions, corn, soybeans, even wheat, that producers will be needing to make as it's related to this year. Agriculture, of course, in Illinois, corn and soybeans, that acreage decision is due soon, or at least the idea of maybe the mix of acreage that producers will be putting in the ground for the 2021 growing season. You can hear Gary and Scott talk about it tomorrow on the Farm Doc webinar. Register right now at willag.org, and it too is free. We're now joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to talk about the weather forecast, agricultural weather forecast in general. But Drew, it has just been cold. It was 6 below here this morning, and I wasn't in an area that had the worst of it. That tongue of cold air that came out of the Arctic just plunged in to the central part of the United States. Texas clearly has had a difficult problem. Can you tell me about any relief that's coming?
Well, we are at the tail end of this. This morning was probably the last of the extremely cold mornings for the Midwest and Texas, too. We did get fresh snow, though, to fall overnight in parts of the southern plains, and that'll be moving into the lower eastern Midwest as we go forth through the next 24 hours. That new snow is going to delay a more dramatic warm-up from occurring, but we are going to move the winds around to the south, and eventually we will start to bring in warmer air. So our first goal here is to melt snow. We've got to get the snow off the ground from Texas into Kansas and Missouri and the lower Midwest, and then we can start heating the ground and then generating a better environment for bringing in more warmer biased conditions. We will definitely warm up, but until that snow field is gone, it's going to be really difficult to get those temperatures to warm in a more dramatic sense. But no more of these single-digit readings in Texas, no more sub-zero readings in the heart of the Midwest. Maybe the upper Midwest could still do that again yet tonight, but I think the northern plains too, for that matter. But by the time we get to the weekend, all of that will be gone. And supposedly, we'll be seeing near to above average temperatures at the end of the weekend and next week. So this will all be a figment of our imagination, right?
A bad one, if it is. It may not be a figment of our back pocket, eventually, is my guess. But we'll see. That'll depend on what those heating bills look like when they come in. You mentioned the snow. You know, there's a lot of concern every winter about the wheat crop. We went in dry. We went in without snow. Any reason to think that there's a problem that has evolved at this point?
Well, I think there is some legitimacy for concern in the snow-free areas up in the northern plains. I think we talked about that last week real briefly in North Dakota and western and central South Dakota. There wasn't that much snow on the ground all of this past week while the bitter cold was going on. And I know that there's not a lot of wheat that's produced in North Dakota. There's a little bit more in South Dakota, though, and some of that crop certainly was vulnerable, and I'm sure that we probably got into trouble there in several areas. But further south, over the weekend, the marketplace became convinced that there was widespread damage in Kansas and Colorado, and I just totally disagree with that. The way this all played out is that on Saturday morning, we saw temperatures in the positive and negative single digits in Colorado and Kansas, where it was snow-free. But those temperatures, in my opinion, weren't cold enough to cause any kind of permanent damage, even though there wasn't snow on the ground. The crop was sufficiently hardened. Also, the crop is dry, and dry crop has less moisture in the plant cells, so there's less potential for bursting. So most likely we got through Saturday morning without a problem. Sunday morning, We had snow on the ground in Colorado and extreme western Kansas, but central Kansas was snow-free, and that area saw, again, positive and negative single-digit readings. The same scenario was playing out Sunday that was happening on Saturday there. And then on Monday morning, that's when everybody got pretty excited because temperatures fell to 28 degrees below zero in eastern Colorado and western Kansas, but there was snow on the ground. And in central Kansas, we fell to negative teens. We had some light snow around. Not everybody was really well covered, so that's where some of the speculation is that there might have been some impact. But boy, I still think it's fairly small. And as we move forward into spring, we'll see what kind of greening we get. But, you know, as well as I, you know, we'll have to wait until the crop is harvested to find out if we had empty heads, you know, when the crop does come back around. I think there's potential for some new tillering, too. And I think the crop can recover if we manage to get some timely rain and seasonable temperatures here early in the spring. So I don't think it's a done deal at all.
Hey, on the immediacy point, anything to worry about in the eastern part of the United States?
Tomorrow, this new snowstorm is coming out of the Delta today. Will present a massive ice storm in Virginia and neighboring areas of northern North Carolina and eastern West Virginia, maybe getting into Maryland and Delaware, maybe southern Pennsylvania. This is going to be pretty serious. I think we'll see a half inch to an inch of ice in some areas in Virginia, and that's going to bring trees and power lines down. It's going to be a pretty big mess. Behind it, or off to the southwest, there'll be a mixture of rain, sleet, and snow. Probably have some pretty nasty weather across parts of the Delta and the Tennessee River Basin area. And then the northeast U.S. will see a pretty good snow event once again.
Anything else on the agricultural front around the globe that we should take up?
Well, real briefly, in Argentina, we're back into a drying mode. And you know, soil assessment we did yesterday shows the ground is in pretty good shape still from the late January, early February rain. But it has been a very poor month so far for precipitation, and we are going to be firming up the soil. So as we go into the last week of February, there will be increasing crop stress in Argentina unless the weather pattern changes and we get a better rain event taking place. Some of the late season crops may be stressed enough that we could shave off a little yield or quality. So we'll be watching for some rain maybe in early March. I still am not convinced we're going to lose much, but there's still that concern. And of course, Brazil, there's plenty of rain falling across Mato Grosso, Goiás, and Minas Gerais. Those are important states that produce all kinds of crops. And there is some concern about getting the soybean harvest completed and the safrinha corn planted, and especially in Mato Grosso. It looks like the latest data has those field progress rates way behind, and so it doesn't look real good for the safrinha corn crop down the road. We might have a smaller yet crop if we can't get some better drying to occur pretty quick.
Well, we'll depend on you to keep us up to date. Hey, thanks so much.
All right, have a good day. Stay warm.
I will, you too. That is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Public Radio for the farming world.